Welcome, everyone, to this episode of Manufacturing Talk Radio. I'm Tim Grady. I'm here with Lou Weiss, who is with All Metals and Forge Group. He's also the founder of Manufacturing Talk Radio and Jacket Media Company and the various podcasts that we broadcast from there. Joining us today is Dr. Chris Keel, who is with Armada Corporate Intelligence. He joins us once each month to give us the Credit Managers Index Report and some other information on how the economy is doing. Chris, things seem to be going very well.
They're going well, but they're declining just a little. If you look at the latest CMI, the numbers are still very strong. And this is one of those things where you really have to sort of split hairs, because people will look at the numbers and say, for crying out loud, they're in the 60s. Even the things that are normally slow were in the 50s. How can you say that it's not doing well? Well, it was doing better, you know. So it's kind of like last weekend your football team won by 39 points, and this weekend they only won by 14. They still won, but they weren't quite as impressive. And I think that's what we're seeing with CMI numbers. We had numbers that were low 70s, upper 60s, and those 70s have now fallen into the upper 60s. The upper 60s have fallen to the lower 60s. So it's one of those things where still very strong, still very optimistic, no reason to panic, but the peak probably has been reached. And you're going to be seeing, I think, consistently a little bit less enthusiastic numbers. The only ones that we're really worried about now are in the unfavorable sectors, because those are now really close to falling into that contraction territory. They're still positive, but 50.1, it doesn't leave you with a lot of room. It's kind of like, okay, if it falls 0.2 of a point, it's in contraction. So it's like, okay, don't fall any further. So we'll just have to see. And the numbers that are in the unfavorables that are probably the least concerning at this stage, bankruptcy numbers are still very good. We're still seeing pretty good numbers when it comes to even accounts out for collection. Where we're seeing a little bit of distress is in disputes and in slow pays. And those are kind of the first two things where you will see problems show up. You're going to start to see companies going, no, I don't really owe you that money, do I? Yes, you do. No, really? Do I owe you that? Yeah, it's right here. You owe us this money. Are you sure? Are you sure you don't have to pay that until like 2075? No, you owe us now. And then the slow pays are like, hi, wasn't that check supposed to hit us on Monday? Yeah, but you didn't say which Monday. Yeah, we did. So you're getting a little bit of this fudging, which is a little bit distressing. Not an emergency.
Well, with all due respect, all of those scenarios that you mentioned about the misunderstanding about when a check is supposed to be sent.
Yes.
That's been going on for the 50 years I'm in the industry.
Oh, of course it does. And it always will. But you get it when you start to see it showing up in the readings, you know, where you're getting it from customers you don't normally get it from. I mean, the credit managers know they have a whole assortment of customers. You've got the guys that are going to argue about everything. You've got the ones that pay promptly. There's the legendary Walmart version of payment where, you know, they pay you when they feel like it. And you know they're going to pay you. It's just whenever they feel like it. And you know that that's the way the game is played. So,
yeah, tough game. So, Chris, I don't know that we have asked you in the past, but your Credit Managers Index goes across all industries, not just manufacturing, but services as well, right?
We have two different sectors. We have the manufacturing collection, and then we have the service collection. Service with our survey is really heavily retail. We don't have a lot of certainly don't have a lot of the professional services, but we don't even have a lot of what we would call hospitality and entertainment. It's heavily retail. Manufacturing is very broad. It's everything from apparel to heavy machinery, ag, automotive, aerospace, lots of variety within that category. So the manufacturing numbers are general and are fairly indicative. That's why they match up so well with the purchasing managers index. It doesn't match up as well on the service side because the PMI will pick up services that we don't. So generally speaking, for a credit manager to be engaged, there has to be stuff. So you've got to be involved in buying something. And a lot of the service sector, like hospitality and entertainment, don't have as much of that. And as a result, we don't get a lot of that data.
Okay. Just on the economy as a whole, Chris, as we start to see things go a little soft in the PMI, is the economy going a little soft? Everything we've heard so far is that it's booming, it's doing great. I've got to believe there are some pockets in there that aren't doing so well.
Yeah, I mean, there have definitely been some softening. Some of it we've been watching all summer because you're looking at things like chip shortages and all sorts of raw material shortages, which have affected automotive, but it's also affected anything else that uses chips. So aerospace has been affected and the like. Where the concern has begun to emerge is that you look at things that may be sensitive to another round of virus concern. So are the airlines going to see a decline in traffic? They already have. But that's also the time of year that that happens. You're kind of down to business travelers right now. The more vacation-oriented travelers will start showing up again in November. So we're down from what we had been in the summer, but that's not a huge surprise. The areas that have been softening have generally been on that service side again. People are not going to restaurants quite as much as they were. They haven't been attending events quite as much as they were. But this time around, we're not seeing government shutdowns causing this. We're seeing consumers reacting cautiously. Some of them aren't, you know. So it's really come down to the consumer deciding what they want to do. Some of them are becoming more concerned about the exposure, and so they're paring back. But for the most part, people haven't been. They've been adopting whatever protocols are in place. If they've been vaccinated, et cetera, they're not as worried. So I don't think we're going to get a repeat of 2020, but we're sort of getting that quasi-W, where we hit a real peak, we're coming off that peak. I don't think we're going into a recession, and then we'll start to level off a little less robustly than we were earlier this year, but not horrible.
Well, one of the ways to cure the chip issue is that we have to get the medical profession to stop putting the chips in our vaccinations.
And, that's right. That's right. It's all Bill Gates' fault.
That's right. So if we stop putting chips into vaccination, we might have a different issue. That being said, talking about COVID, now that we now have a new potential virus called Mu, which I heard about this week. I presume everybody has. This is going to continually, the way I see it, is going to continually affect the economy, affect the service area, particularly, and manufacturing.
And it is a little confusing to me, and I don't know if it's the impact of social media or just what. There is nothing new about viruses, and there's nothing new about viruses that change. In the last just 10 or 15 years, we've had SARS, MERS, Zika, Ebola, Marburg, avian flu, swine flu. Most of those, all but two of those, are more deadly than COVID, but they don't spread as easily. And we're talking about a coronavirus, of which I think I've read there are 14,000 known versions of a coronavirus. Most of them just do their thing and give us a cold or give us a flu or whatever, but it's ubiquitous. And at some point, we're going to have to come to grips with the fact that it's kind of a known threat, and you do what you can to protect yourself, like flu vaccines and these other types of reactions. I've made the point in several of my talks, nobody remembers the Hong Kong flu of 1968, but that killed 4 million people in 3 months versus 14 million in a year and a half, almost 2 years for COVID. And nobody even remembers it. I mean, you know, we're talking about social distancing now. 1968 was Woodstock. there wasn't a lot of social distancing. I've seen the pictures. You know, so
it was social intermingling.
Yes. But it's one of these things that we will eventually have to come to grips with. That as one of the risks that we encounter. We do what we can to protect ourselves, which means vaccinating and all the rest of that stuff, but it's not something that will ever be eradicated. For crying out loud, we're still trying to, we thought we'd wiped out smallpox and it came back, you know, so.
Well, I have to mention that I think that part of the issue different today than yesteryear is that the mainstream media has found a new revenue stream called COVID.
That may be true.
The other night, my wife and I were listening to a news broadcast on one of the cable shows, and they took a break. And I, honest engine, 14 commercials, 14 15-second commercials. And it's this pill you're going to die from, and it's that spray you're going to die from. So they tell you all about these great medicines that you, if you do this, you're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, and I don't want to mention names, but there were certain cable companies that were actually hurting financially before COVID. And now they're making nothing but oodles and oodles of.
Well, you've hit on something that has been the truth for eons. And that's always been the little comment about if it bleeds, it leads. You know, it's one of those things where as media consumers, we seem to go for the hysterical, and somewhere along the way, this whole disease became politicized and people started taking sides on it. And then as soon as it became a political football, nobody was paying any attention to the disease anymore. And I think that that's become part of a bigger problem, is that everything becomes a political debate. And for the vast majority of us, we're like, I don't really want to do a political debate. I just want to do my job. I want to make some money, take care of my family, you know, go to a ball game occasionally. I don't need all this other drama. But when it comes right down to it, we can see it in kind of media offerings. And I am by no means a media critic. I'm just a ordinary Midwestern economist that is puzzled by people's attraction to minor and major disasters on TV. You know, I mean, in the great scheme of things, you know all you need to know about me to realize that I spend most of my TV watching on the Food Channel and HGTV. So, you know, I want to see people doing things I can't do. So
you got it clear. So, Chris, sorry we have to cut this episode a little bit short, but give us a picture of GDP from now through the end of the year. It was in the 6 range earlier in the year. What do we think it's going to be like by the time we wrap up 2021?
Yeah, we're going to be a lot closer to what would be considered normal. For the last 20 years, we've averaged around 2.5%. annual GDP growth. We may be a little higher than that in third quarter. We may be right at that in fourth quarter. It kind of depends on how aggressive we are when the retail season starts. So it's kind of back to my first point. We're not in danger. We're not in a recession. We're not receding. We just had a good time earlier this year. You know, it's kind of like, wow, you know, this has been awesome. Well, the party ended, and we're all dealing a little bit with the hangover and the cleanup part. And it's like, okay, this isn't nearly as fun as the party. No, but it's not a disaster. We are probably going to be going into 2022 in pretty good shape. We're going to spend a lot of energy trying to figure out do we or do we not extend any of the help that was offered during 2020 and 2021? The Fed's talking about tapering. Interest rates may start to rise. If there's any good news in this latest decline, even though it's been fairly minor, it has tended to tamp down inflation. That was a big worry earlier in the year. That's not as big an issue now. Lumber prices have come back down. Steel has to a degree. You've seen a little bit of decline in oil prices, even with all the geopolitical stuff. So that inflation surge has tapered, and that's good news. And if we can keep modest growth with low inflation, 2022 could be one of those boring good years where it's like, okay, nothing's happening. Nothing's happening good. Nothing's happening bad. Yay. So
Tim and I always say that when we have our shows, that if there's too much good news, the show is going to be short. It's only when there's bad things does the show go for 45 minutes.
Exactly. If we can keep on this track of low inflation and modest growth, you can start doing cooking tips. You know, I mean, you know, it's just, you'll have a little extra time, you know, Lou at the grill, you know, I mean, that could be good.
Yeah. I wouldn't bet on that.
Well, Chris, we appreciate you joining us each month to give us an update from the National Association of Credit Managers. They are at nacm.org, and Chris puts together the Credit Managers Index report for them, as well as the Forging Industry Association and some other groups. So stay tuned, Chris. We enjoy having you here. He always brings the economy with a little bit of humor, which we all definitely need. Thanks, Chris.
You're welcome. Thanks very much.
And that wraps us up for a short episode of Manufacturing Talk Radio. Stay tuned for our upcoming shows. We have several that we're going to post this week. Each and every week we have shows going up online. Visit our YouTube channel or see us at jacketmediaco.com for links to all of our shows. And thank you for watching this episode of Manufacturing Talk Radio.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.